Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The corner of Broadway and Battery. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Let's start with something we won't be able to say very often, so we'll enjoy it while we can. Cody Bellinger lost a game with a huge mistake. He's going to be around for a long time. That guy's going to be a real pain in our rear end in this city for a long, long time. And there won't be many shows between now and the end of that guy's career, or the end of our careers, whatever happens first, where we will say the Dodgers lost because Cody Bellinger made a rookie-level mistake. And that's what happened last night, a throwing error to a hot dog vendor. I mean, that was as far emailed over a third baseman's head as you could find. And the Giants win on a huge mistake by Cody Bellinger, of all players, who was at first for the very first time all season last night.
He did outkick his coverage.
Yes, he did.
That calling that a rookie mistake is not even quite right. That's like a
Little League-ish.
It's not. Yeah, that's like what's before Little League. Like, you just don't. So the last time I can remember seeing a base overthrown in that way from the infield is Sean Dunston. He used to do that a few times a year.
Right.
He
knocked
did like to show his arm. That's right. True.
He'd knock out some lady in the third row at Wrigley.
Exactly. But I literally can't remember seeing someone do a flyover on an infield throw in that manner in years.
I mean, it's clearly a physical mistake.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that it's that. I mean, you'll see that about three or four times a year in baseball because stuff happens, but he did get all of that.
He really did.
And the thing is, all hitters will have a season where they struggle at the plate. Athletes, pure, raw daddy athletes, which Cody Bellinger is. This guy runs like a deer, jumps like a gazelle, is just, he is an all-around baseball specimen. That might be, when his career is all said and done, the single biggest throwing mistake of his career. And we'll remember it because it happened in a big game. That was a big game last night, and Buster Posey rounded third, smiling ear to ear.
A little check swing bouncer. Muncy's going to field, and he didn't get Yastrzemski. So now Posey ranges away, and Bellinger throws it so high. Posey will come in to score. Yastrzemski over to third. That's how the Giants go ahead. 2-1.
He threw it so high, the only thing Dave Fleming could think to say was, Bellinger throws it so high.
Bellinger so high!
Yeah, that's one where you, when you're on TV, you don't have to say a word. So, you know, even the radio guys are going to have trouble unless your eyesight's pretty good, because you're not looking at that as a possibility. You're looking at, where's the third baseman? How is he not making a play on this ball while the ball is somewhere? Oh, I got it. It's in row 12.
Not since Jerry Garcia and Bob Weir were roommates on Ashbury has anything in this town been that high. That, I mean, it was something else. And if you saw the picture, whoever was snapping shots for the Chronicle last night just caught a great one of Buster Posey. And Buster is pretty stoic. You do not get an awful lot of emotion from Buster Posey. Buster Posey is looking into the Giants club dugout because he realizes he could basically walk to home plate at this point. And the smile on his face, he cannot believe that this is how this game is setting up to end. And then obviously you had McGee come in there and nail it down. Tyler Rogers got himself in and out of a jam in the eighth inning. And even though there is so much focus on Posey with, you know, he scores the go-ahead run. He drives in the legit run that the Giants drove in of the game. Lost in all of this last night is Logan Webb. Because I am going to, I guess, I don't think we've been disrespecting him, but I'm going to start putting a little bit more respect on his name and starting to worry less about his ability to start an important postseason game for the San Francisco Giants. That guy was good.
I don't remember if it was on air or just yelling at Lucas in the break room, but I was saying yesterday, I think he'd be my three starter. All due respect to Alex Wood, who's had a good season. What I've seen from Logan Webb, especially in his last like five, six, seven starts, he looks like a playoff-ready pitcher.
He gives that impression, but I don't know that he's pitched well enough, often enough, to go into the postseason feeling confident about it. He's still a white knuckler for games like that, but he did pitch very well. So did Urias.
He did. Yeah. That's the second time in a row he's pitched really well in no decision.
Yeah, and he's a guy who gives up a lot of home runs. So for him to keep it down and in the ballpark, that gave the Dodgers every chance they could possibly ask for to win the game.
I do think it's relevant, and I'm trying to look up the exact numbers, but unless I'm wrong, Logan Webb has been especially good against the Dodgers, which, you know, beyond being a likely playoff opponent if you intend to win a World Series, that suggests that the high leverage of those games doesn't bother him a whole heck of a lot, right? I mean, so I just, you never, Ray's right. You never know with a young guy. We've never seen him in that sort of situation. Anything can happen, and it'll be a little bit of a white knuckler if he's starting game three of a playoff series. At the same time, as young guys go, he's looking pretty good. And Lucas just told me the team is 7-0 in his last seven starts. So can't argue with that.
Dave Fleming with the call, by the way, on NBC Sports Bay Area that we already enjoyed. And again, Logan Webb last night, Ray, six innings, a three-hit, one-run ball, five strikeouts, and a walk. It's against the Dodgers, which I'm going to say counts, you know, 1.5.
And if we're doing it that way, against the Dodgers in three games, 16 innings, four earned runs allowed, 17 strikeouts, and four walks, a whip of 0.688, and an ERA of 2.25. He's been nails against this team.
Find me the pitcher in the National League who's got a better split against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about him is that six innings looks to be about his outer limit.
That's true.
And the Giants' bullpen is not so lights out that you can go, six innings is all we need.
No, but for your third starter, I mean, look, if it's a decision between him and Alex Wood right now, I'm taking Logan Webb. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not questioning that, but that's why they are talking as hard as they are to other people with pitchers.
No doubt. If the choice is between Max Scherzer and Logan Webb, it's a different choice.
Right.
If the choice is Jose Barrios, if the choice even is Adam Wainwright.
I see.
I like a guy who's done that before as your third starter.
I tell you, we got an awful lot to get into that game. We'll get back into it. Some really interesting post-game sound from Kapler, from Bellinger. Tyler Rogers was talking after that game last night. And we're going to be talking about the game last night, the coming game tonight, which is really, I mean, this is a big game for Tony DeSclafani because he has been the opposite of Logan Webb against the Dodgers. The Dodgers have really been his blind spot, and Walker Buehler is probably the best shot the Dodgers got in their rotation to fire at anybody. So a big one tonight, a really big one tonight. We're going to have John Heyman join us in about 20 minutes from now to talk about this and the coming deadline. We've got Alex Dickerson joining us tonight, and he's probably definitely in the lineup with Buehler being a righty tonight. He's going to join us at 3:30. Monty Poole is going to be joining us in our 4 o'clock hour to talk about the big Warriors draft day that we are going to be at Chase Center to cover tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. George Kontos, before it's all said and done this afternoon. Other things going on, obviously 49ers training camp is open. Trey Lance has signed his deal. We got sound from Kyle Shanahan talking about his rookie quarterback. We got sound from the Niners starting quarterback, which very much remains Jimmy Garoppolo. So we're going to hear from him. We got some news to get into. And gentlemen, we have Aaron Rodgers' press conference that in the history of listening to any athlete talk to the media, I don't know if you can find me a more transparent, here's how I really feel, here is my belief system, here is what upset me in this offseason, and here's why I'm addressing it now, but not at any other time. Aaron Rodgers put on a press conference for the ages today in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I heard only a little bit of it, and I kind of lost interest pretty quickly because it had that sort of, I'm a victim here, that I wasn't getting into. I got the sense that he was unhappy about his lot in life at a time where the only thing that happened was that a guy without leverage didn't get to go to a team that he wanted to go to just because the guy that he works for is a stubborn SOB.
You should have stayed tuned because yeah, there was so much more than that impression.
Yeah, I think what is upset. I don't think he necessarily had a place he wanted to go. I think he wanted a certain level of, we could call it respect, we could call it power, we could call it a voice in the room. He wanted a certain level of something that this franchise has been unwilling to provide, and he straight up aired it all out. I thought it was fascinating.
One of his direct quotes is, "I am not a victim."
Okay, really, then I'm ready to back up everything.
Yeah. Ray, apparently you did miss it. It's a good thing we cut it up a little bit today. We have some very transparent, real athletes sharing a belief system with you coming out of that press conference today, and we're going to get into it. We got a ton to get into, including the fact that Simone Biles has withdrawn from further important Olympic events. The Cleveland Guardians, believe it or not, already exist in the city of Cleveland. They're a roller derby team. And
they got a trademark?
The homework has not been done. And this is unbelievable that it can happen in this current environment with everything that has been connected to the Washington football team. It's unbelievable. That story a little bit later on today. If you can't laugh at the city of Cleveland, why even bother having a sports talk radio show? So we're going to have it all for you today. Thank you for sticking around. What a great show. John Heyman, Alex Dickerson, Monty Poole, George Kontos today. Giants and Dodgers in town. The NBA draft is tomorrow, and the Niners reported to training camp. Anything else? Is there anything else you would like? Oh, yeah. The A's made a huge trade. And they're already up 5-0 today in San Diego after losing a tough one last night. Sean Manaea has got a 5-0 lead early in San Diego.
And the Sharks are blowing up their roster without anybody noticing.
Sharks. Go
Sharks.
They
let Martin Jones, they basically bought him out, and he's now with the Flyers. And they signed three guys today, two of whom have played in Stanley Cup finals. So we don't need to get into it, but they've decided enough's enough.
Nothing.
Unavailable. He's a Kraken. He's the Kraken.
If you're looking for sports betting content all day long, check out the BetQL Network, available on the Odyssey mobile app right now. Wagertainment, morning, noon, and night. Entertaining to keep both casual and hardcore bettors engaged. Get betting tips from the best in the game. BetQL Network, streaming right now on Odyssey.com. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Great to have you here on a Tuesday. Or no, it's a Wednesday. That's right. Let me move on down the week with us. It's a Wednesday afternoon, a Wednesday that training camp opened down in Santa Clara. We have what did happen yesterday is we started getting our Madden ratings, which mean a lot to players who are actually in Madden. I know that there's quite a bit of buzz in Dallas today that Ezekiel Elliott's only an 88 and everyone's up in arms. Oh, my goodness. Speed is what kills you. And Raheem Mostert has got to be feeling really, really good about this. Raheem Mostert of the San Francisco 49ers has the highest speed rating of any running back in the game, 97. Matt Breida, Cheetah, former Niner, 94. And congratulations to Raheem Mostert and the entire Mostert family, an entire career built on speed, acknowledged by Madden. That's what you want. That's what you're asking for.
That $900 gets you a PS5.
It was about $450 when I think it was all said and done with shipping.
Well, Ray's paying aftermarket prices.
Ray's paying no price. That's
the 900.
That is two generations away from me.
900 is a reseller, not the actual cost.
There would be like the after times. There'd be a level of Mad Max going on if PlayStations were going for nearly $1,000. But I tell you, there was a point in time where I would have given $1,000 for a PlayStation because the one that took me about a year to get after it came out.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten one. So, yeah, you know,
someday,
it's all a mystery to me.
You can only dream. You can only dream. Anyways, it matters to players. And there is, I don't think, anyone who cares more about the respective speed in the game than Raheem Mostert. He wants you to know how fast he is, and he certainly lets some teams know how fast he is. And congratulations. Again, it means a lot to the players, an awful lot to the players, what their Madden ratings are. Officially underway in training camp. That's what we are. They get underway with a signed rookie quarterback, Trey Lance, has inked a deal, and he is in and taking reps.
Just watching it live. He does some good things, and he's got a lot of rookie things too. I don't think he's focused right now in his first day of practice about getting a starting job. He needs to be focused on just doing as good as he can. He didn't get all the reps in camp, and today was probably the most he's gotten, and we'll just keep stacking them up. And sure, a couple days, he'll take a couple steps back, but as long as he's taking more steps forward, we'll be all right.
Think about Kyle Shanahan and what he's got coming up in the next however many weeks of training camp and how much ever media he's going to have to do between now and we actually get into the proof of the pudding of week one. Kyle Shanahan knows that he has to keep an enemy at bay. And that enemy
is confusion and media speculation. He really does. It's one of the biggest things he's got to manage in between the actual managing a football team and its practices and its improvement. Keeping the media and fans calm about, what's Trey doing today? What is Trey having a good day? Was he better on third downs than Jimmy Garoppolo this afternoon at 2 o'clock, or was he better at 3 o'clock? What, at 4
Wait,
o'clock,
did he just
did
take
he get
a first-team rep?
Did he? How many reps did he take with the first line, the second line? How many reps did he get with Brandon Ayuk? Oh, my God, is he working more with Raheem Mostert? You've heard about his Madden rating. Is it Trey? Kyle Shanahan owes himself keeping the enemy quiet, removing all confusion, being as open as honest as possible, just to keep people from asking him the same question every 5 minutes.
I think he should simply tell everybody, I'm only coming out when I have to explain an injury. Otherwise, you guys do what you want.
Right,
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I have a starting quarterback. Trey Lance isn't it. I'll let you know when he is. And be prepared to wait a couple of years. Now get off my lawn.
It's a couple of years is going to be tough to perform this act, but I'm kind of with Ray. It's certainly within the realm of possibility. I think probably the best case scenario for that finds the happy medium for Niner fans and coaching staff is a solid Jimmy Garoppolo year that ends in a second round playoff exit, and you can get a second round pick for him, and Trey Lance is ready for next year. But again, I just think it's all going to be about Lance and not about Garoppolo. So if Garoppolo has the exact year I described and Kyle doesn't think Trey's quite ready, you're going to see Garoppolo for a second, yet another year of Trey Lance's career. And I think people need to understand that if that happens, it will be okay.
Yeah. I know this is two different sports, and I'm going to try not to make this analogy again. We just went through a year where a guy who hasn't played enough at the college level was introduced to big-time pro sports. And what did we learn? He's a ways away. Lance has played 13 college games in his lifetime, one in the last calendar year, and the last calendar year being 2020. So whatever it is you're expecting of him, you know, ratchet that down at least a year. He hasn't done enough to be able to run this offense or really any pro offense. And it's not a knock on him. It's just he hasn't played. So unless you want to get caught up in the Weissman insanity again, assume that he's unavailable till 2023 at the very soonest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would go that far. He's certainly played a lot more than James Wiseman. But it's something people should be prepared for.
Look,
and I think people need to realize, like, if it takes 2 years of practice for this guy to be ready to be a starting NFL quarterback, that's not a disaster. He'll be 23 at that point.
He'll be ready when he's ready.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan's not going to put him out there until he's ready. And however long Jimmy Garoppolo is in control of this team, its offense, the huddle, the locker room, and very much in control of win records that keep you on top of the NFC West, he's going to be okay. It's very clear the mission for Jimmy Garoppolo. Play well, win big. You keep doing that, you can take the rearview mirror off your freaking car. Seriously, all you got to do is play well and win big, and you will be this team's quarterback this season. After this season, nothing's guaranteed. Nothing. Nothing's guaranteed to anybody next year. We just went through a year that kind of like implicitly proved that in every conceivable way. Nothing is guaranteed. Jimmy says that he guarantees you that he'll do whatever it takes to be a good teammate to the new guy.
I think that stuff just comes naturally. It's not like I would ever hold something away from him and, you know, I don't want to tell him this type of thing. It's just when you let it happen organically, and that's what kind of we've done, I think that's when it's most natural, and you can really build a normal relationship between two people. And so, yeah, I don't want to draw a line anywhere or anything like that, but anything he needs, I'm willing to help him. I think Nate and Josh are the same way. We got good room right now in the QBs, and it's fun to be around.
There you go. Good attitude, right thing to say, whether it's true or not. That's what you say in public. That's how you lead from the front. That's how you make it nice and smooth and not create opportunities for the media to get in there with a little bit of a wedge and just start creating bigger gaps in stories. I mean, like, he is doing it the right way, and we've only done it one afternoon so far.
And honestly, like, that's what matters. The optics are what matters here. Like, if Jimmy in the QB room is not going out of his way to teach things to Trey Lance, that, like, you'd like him to, but it's not a big deal. Trey Lance is going to learn on his own or learn from other guys, or he's not going to be good. Right. But
Garoppolo is not his coach.
And frankly, like, Jimmy Garoppolo's contributions to Trey Lance's career are not going to be what determines whether Trey Lance is a successful quarterback or not, you know? So, yeah, you'd love him to be the Alex Smith-style tremendous mentor who willingly passes the reins. On the other hand, if he's thinking, screw you, I'm keeping this job, as long as he's nice about it in public, it's fine.
Yeah, as long as he's not an active obstruction, because the guy whose job it is to teach Trey Lance to be an NFL quarterback is Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, and the quarterback coaches and whoever the offensive, I guess they don't have a coordinator, but, you know, run and pass game coordinators, whatever, like, that's their job. That's their whole job right now. The most important job they have, arguably, is teaching Trey Lance to be a great NFL quarterback. So,
and it's Jimmy Garoppolo's job to go out there and motivate himself, not get pushed by anybody, not have somebody in his rearview mirror getting closer, and therefore he's going to work harder today. That's not how this league works. You got to be a self-starter.
I've been around for a little while. I sound old saying that, but if you don't push yourself, then you got no chance in this game. So, I mean, if you rely on outside forces to motivate you, it's going to be tough. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm as motivated as it gets.
Here's what we know. Here's what we know. The media is going to write whatever story that day's editor believes will get the most clicks. That's how this works now. That's how this works. That's why every single time you go to the internet, there's a new rumor for you to read about either a draft pick or a trade option or anything like that. Even though there's no source to the rumor, it's just, here's today's list of what might happen. Now we got to juggle it a little because we're going to need a new list tomorrow. And we're going to need you to come back the day after that to see if there's anything that changed between list A and list B. So now here's list C. And we're going to use a word like sources, which we don't even have to explain what sources means. So what is this? It's just generating content. Kyle Shanahan, the thing that he owes himself the most is to never be a creator of content, because it's coming anyways. Tell everyone, Jimmy's the number one, Lance is the number two. No matter what you see, no matter what snap count Cam Inman might be tracking today at practice, that's the one, that's the two, that's the way it goes. For his own headspace, he deserves to do that for himself. John Heyman, one of the best at covering Major League Baseball, nice enough to join the show today. He's an Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John Heyman joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Thank you very much, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Thank you so much. Giants lose a nail-biter last night. Because Cody Bellinger, or the Giants win a nail biter last night because Cody Bellinger lost control of a ball being thrown to third base and nearly threw it out of the ballpark. It's the rare mistake that Bellinger will make to cost the Dodgers a big game, but it happened, and here the Giants are, three games up, looking good, highest win total in baseball, and the trade deadline is here. John Heyman, you have autonomous rights to make the deal that puts the Giants in the World Series. What deal are you doing?
I'll take Scherzer if that's what you're giving me. I'll take anything. The Giants are no fluke. They need to go for it. They got a very good team. They're playing well, despite some injuries. You know, they're really good. You know, I've seen odds that suggest the Dodgers are still big favorites. I'm not too sure about that.
Since you took Scherzer, I've seen sort of conflicting reports on this. If a team is going to trade for Max Scherzer, do you have a good sense of what he wants in terms of future commitment, a contract extension, or what kind of money or years he's looking for in that?
Yeah, no, I don't have a sense in terms of, I don't think he would do a contract extension immediately. I mean, he's got Scott Boras. He likes to be a free agent. I do think he would like to go to a team that he sees winning for the next 2-3 years. And, you know, I think it's fairly clear and pretty guessable that he'd be looking for a deal in that range of the Verlander deal. And I can't exactly remember what he got, but it was something like $35 million a year for 2 years. something along those lines. Top of the market, but pretty short-term deal. He did just turn 37.
Okay, given the fact that the Astros are really the only contender that has decided to buy up a whole new bullpen, how do you rank the teams that are looking for starters but don't get Scherzer? Who are they after? Who are they chasing the hardest at this point?
Yeah, I mean, Berríos from the Twins is very popular. I can't guarantee he's going to be traded, but, I mean, this is such a stark seller's market. They should be able to get an overpay. He's got another year of control, and he's the only other top-of-the-rotation starter. He's not Scherzer. He's not on his way to the Hall of Fame, presumably, but, I mean, he's probably a number two starter for most teams, so I'll count him as a top-of-the-rotation guy. You know, there are other starters out there. There's Kyle Gibson, who's got another year to go, and there's guys who are free agents after the year, like Zach Davies and John Gray. It's a thin market, and there are basically every contender, except for the White Sox, needs or would like a starting pitcher.
What do you think, John? Got John Heyman here on 95.7 The Game, of the Cubs fire sale. Who is the next to go, and who might be up for adding a Kimbrel, a Bryant, possibly even Javi Baez?
Yeah, I mean, I never like to predict the order. You never know on that. But in terms of Bryant, the teams that have been connected so far, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Giants, you know, it's a tough market for a position players, even versatile ones. Kimbrel, Houston would have made sense, but now it doesn't look that way. The Dodgers, you know, they've professed great confidence in Jansen, and I do think they like Jansen, but they wouldn't mind adding there. I never rule anything out for the Padres. A.J. Preller, their GM, has acquired Kimbrel once before, so, you know, that's a possibility as well. And Baez and Rizzo, I just still think there's a good chance, or a decent chance, that they stay. And they offer him the qualifying offer and hope to re-sign him.
Of the teams that are buyers, given the fact that it is genuinely a seller's market, when the deadline comes and goes, would we be surprised to find out that that all the activity has already happened and that the last big deal might have been Adam Frazier?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to occur. I mean, the Cubs and the Nats are clearly sellers at this point, and they have big stuff to sell. I'm going to be shocked if Scherzer isn't traded at this point. I mean, Turner, I'm not so sure that he will be. There are many shortstops available who will be cheaper in terms of prospect haul, Story, Baez, and others. So I think Turner will probably stay, but the Nats are going to trade several pieces, I do think. Harrison and Hudson and the Cubs, I think, will trade at least two, probably Kimbrel and Bryant, and maybe Baez and Rizzo. So we got plenty more to come. I'm going to be shocked if Frazier's the biggest deal.
One name we have not yet mentioned that, you know, I struggle to understand why he would be available, but he has been said to potentially be available, is Jose Ramirez of the possible future Cleveland Guardians. Do you think he will move before the deadline?
I doubt it. I mean, they like to investigate everything. They're kind of information gatherers. They did surprise us to a degree last trade deadline by trading Clevinger, a pitcher with 2.5 years of control left. Ramirez is on such a favorable team-friendly contract. It's hard to see them figuring out the right value. And position players are just not going to be overpaid. There's just so many of them out there. I'm surprised that the Marlins did as well as they did for Marte. But, I mean, you've got Peralta, you've got Escobar, Baez, Rizzo, Bryant, Story. You've got a ton. Schwarber, he's on the IL right now, but no reason why he wouldn't be traded. So, it's a seller's market if you've got a holding a starting pitcher. But if you're holding a position player, I think you're in trouble.
A's added Andrew Chafin yesterday to shore up their bullpen a little bit. And then today, David Forst completely gives up on former top pitching prospect Jesus Luzardo. Must think that that's damaged goods, doesn't like the attitude or whatever. Kim Ng of the Marlins jumps all over that potential, thinking, I can fix him, and she's going to be paying Starling Marte to play for the A's. It is a one-for-one, and it's a rare kind of trade you see in baseball. It's something else.
Certainly is. You know, the A's may think they know something, and obviously they're pretty good, very smart. You know, of course, the Nats, who are great with pitching, thought they knew something on Giolito and unloaded him, and they turned out to be wrong. So, I mean, the Marlins are gambling a little bit here because he's obviously not doing well at the moment, but he's got a big arm, and, you know, they probably love the fact that he is from a local community. They did that once before with Brinson. Didn't work out. But I don't think it hurts that he is from Parkland, which is about a half hour away from the ballpark. You know, it's a little surprising, but, you know, the A's are operating on a shoestring, as you guys know, and they got that position player that they wanted without spending any money. So, you know, it's hard for me to second-guess them, but it's a gamble.
I know this is not a big local thing, but I'm baffled by what it is Seattle is doing, where they traded Kendall Graveman, who might be their best reliever in years, and had a near player revolt as a result of it, and then today go out and get Tyler Anderson. Is Jerry DePoto crazy, or does he have a plan that we're just not seeing yet?
I don't see the plan, I got to be honest. I mean, you know, you can try to toe the line, but you're, you know, and do a little buying, a little selling, but when you've got a team that's got the mojo like they have, and you've got a negative 50 run differential, you've won four in a row, the team is excited, they're overproducing, overperforming, and then you basically kill that mojo by trading not only their best closer in years, but a leader, and a beloved leader in the clubhouse. And there were tears in that clubhouse. I think this is what happens when you're just focused on numbers and you don't consider the clubhouse. And I think that's odd because Jerry DePoto playing for several years, I couldn't tell you exactly how many, but several years in the major league, most of the GMs are, you know, numbers geniuses who went to Ivy League schools. DePoto isn't that guy. He is an analytics guy, but he's not an Ivy Leaguer. He's a former major league player, but he's certainly taken the reins and become Mr. Analytics. And, you know, at some point you got to consider what happens in that clubhouse, and I think he missed the boat here.
I think so, too. We got John Heyman. One more to wrap up with you here today, because Colorado sitting on two very interesting properties, people, players, and John Gray and Trevor Story. Do you think that either will be on the move by the deadline, and do you think either could be on the move in their own division?
I mean, you'd have to hope so. They're both free agents. They're not contending. You know, Story has said that he's not going to, or indicated that he's not going to sign a long-term deal, and why would he at this point? You know, he's seen how it worked out with you know, Arenado and all the others, and then Tulowitzki. I mean, they got good deals, but didn't work out in Colorado for them. So it makes sense that he's dealt. Same with Gray, who's probably the best rental pitcher other than Scherzer out there. I mean, you're hearing that they're not liking what they're hearing out there, and that maybe they'll give them – certainly Story would get the qualifying offer, maybe even give Gray the qualifying offer. I think that's taking a chance myself. I mean, is Colorado really going to win next year where you want to pay a pitcher $19 million? To me, it makes no sense. The only thing logical to do would be to trade them. And, you know, teams don't love to trade in their own division. But, you know, I mean, they're so far behind the Dodgers and the Giants and the Padres. I mean, what it's going to be like a deck chair off the Queen Mary to send them John Gray as a rental. That's, you know, nothing. That's nothing. You know, at this point, it's nothing. They're not in the race. So, sending someone as a rental, I see nothing wrong with it. That said, Florida didn't want to send Marte to the Braves. You know, everybody's got their own things. If you don't love the team in your division, maybe you won't do them any favors.
John, thank you so much. Always love tapping into your resources, man. Thank you.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
John Heyman, Odyssey Baseball Insider. Insider calls brought to you by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John Heyman, good stuff. How about that? He said behind Scherzer, he's got John Gray. Maybe that's a really nice booby prize if you don't make it to Max Scherzer. And the best case scenario for the Giants is if Scherzer's too much, the Dodgers don't get him, the Padres don't get him, it doesn't happen, and John Gray is a plan B without them being stung by Scherzer being someone else's plan A. in their own division.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Gray is, you know, I haven't heard Gray as the number two guy that everybody wants. But I do know, having read the guys in Colorado, that with an interim general manager, that they're reluctant to do anything big until they hire the full-time guy. And if that's the case, then maybe Gray's not available, because Gray is the kind of guy that you'd want a full-time GM to make that call. And the owner, Dick Montfort, is not a hands-on guy for the most part. So I don't know how much freedom of action the Rockies really have here. And that also goes for Story. I could easily see them holding on to him just because I don't know who's in charge there.
Even bad teams need good starting pitchers and shortstops. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes. And you're saying $19 million? $19 million means you're spending nothing on a really good major league starting pitcher. $19 million is the cost of walking into the lowest room, the lowest stakes room in the casino right now, almost. Yeah.
$19 million is a number two on a team with money.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that's, I mean, that John Gray doesn't deserve more than that.
I'm not talking about the contract. I'm more sort of interested in the fact that nobody knows what Colorado is doing, and nobody knows who to talk to find out what they're doing.
Who would you even call if you wanted to make a deal? The Rockies don't even really know the answer to that question. We have been all over baseball from last night, baseball trade deadline, a little training camp sound from Santa Clara coming on back, some NBA trade rumors. What's the latest? What's the noise? It's pretty much all noise, no real message, but you know, we'll get it to you. That's what we do. So stick around. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We're actually going to be out on the road tomorrow. First time in a long time. Get to Chase Center early. Gentlemen, we have COVID tests to take. I already said to Matt, not Matt Kolsky, but Matt Nahagian, our program director, I'm like, so if I do test positive, I'm just going to go home and host the show from there. I guess that will be the backup plan. What if we walked in and they're like, all three of you guys got COVID? What would we do?
I'm off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
I mean, I'd probably work from home because I would just have to start living in my garage to avoid infecting my family.
Yeah, I'm going to go shut myself in that little studio for 2 weeks if that were to happen. And you know,
sleeping in that chair won't be comfortable, but there's no reason I can't do the show. The hell else am I doing all day?
Your comfort doesn't matter in your own home. Not
exactly.
To anyone but you. So, look, we will hopefully everyone pass our test with flying colors tomorrow.
I will say it would be ironic for me to test positive for COVID at the moment where I feel like I'm breathing better than I have in a decade.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
And as it turns out, that's probably the way you got it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God.
We have
some doctor / pole vaulter with a stick, like a pool cue.
Right. Shoving a pool cue up my nose.
Running start.
There it is.
We have people to see that we haven't seen in like 2 years.
Face to face with Bob Myers?
I would say we have hands to shake, but I don't even know if we're going to be allowed
bump
to do
elbows.
That. Yeah, a lot of elbow bumps.
Yeah.
A lot of elbow bumps. Yeah. Pound it out. Don't actually go palm to palm. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I haven't even been to a stadium for the first time in so long. I'm looking forward to just walking in and looking at an empty arena. I love an empty arena.
I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah. It's been an incredibly long time since I've been in a sports arena.
Totally. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward.
What does it feel like?
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you very much. We do have a little bit of news, though. The reason why I'm thinking a little COVID is because today's Nationals and Philly game has been postponed because of Washington's COVID outbreak. Sources are telling ESPN that multiple players and coaches have tested positive today after Trey Turner did yesterday. The size of the outbreak remains to be seen, but it might wind up as the biggest in baseball this year. Again, sports are, as they say, a microcosm of society, and we are watching a level of stepping back out into a population that did not go out of its way to keep its social contract with each other. That's straight up. Do you have consideration for the people you share society with, or do you not? If you do, you've been vaccinated. If you don't, you haven't been vaccinated. We're seeing that there is a disturbing amount of unvaccinated players. And we can talk about Cole Beasley all we want. The bottom line is 90% of all NFL players right now are vaccinated. We would be so lucky if society mirrored the NFL. And one of the biggest reasons why the NFL got to its vaccination level, which is certainly better than society's, is that they were directly threatened with a miserable day if they didn't get on board. And there is very little conviction in any American when you threaten to take away a convenience. Like, whatever you believed in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon can be reduced to something you don't think about again if it means you don't get to use your television remote anymore. You actually have to get up, walk across your living room, and change the TV. No one's willing to make that sacrifice. No one's willing to go out of their way for an extra ounce of work, and that's all COVID represents now. Extra ounces of work for everyone in the NFL. So a lot of players who hesitated to do it said, in the name of convenience, I'll do it. I'll acquiesce. The day that France said, you don't get to go to a bar or a coffee shop or a movie or a disco or nothing without the COVID vaccine, 2.5 million more people signed up the very next day.
Sorry, that's a discotheque.
Discoteca. Thank you very much. By the way, he is pitching tonight for the Giants, the discoteca. Hey. But the minute you threaten to take away conveniences, the most staunch, stubborn a-holes you think are in the room will start reconsidering everything. And I hope that's what's happening today. Biden basically said, if you're a government employee, you got to do this, not beat it.
And California has just recommended masks for everyone indoors once again.
And on the other hand, Ron Rivera came out yesterday basically saying, I'm at my wit's end because only 50% of my team has gotten vaccinated. And I'm a guy who nearly died.
He just had cancer treatment last year.
Yeah.
And you won't get vaccinated for your head coach who is at the front of the line in terms of at risk.
And not only that, but at the front of the line in terms of beloved NFL characters, right? I mean, everybody loves Chico. Yeah. It doesn't make any
sense.
Now,
on the other hand, like Christian Yelich tested positive, and he was fully vaxxed. So some of this might be guys who got vaccinated and still got it because the Delta variant is kicking ass.
That's exactly what it is.
And if that's what happens, then they should recover quickly and be available as soon as possible. That's okay.
I'm not casting any judgments on any of the Nationals guys because I don't know who got vaccinated and who didn't. If you got vaccinated, you've done all you can do without actually making your own vaccine. And I'm relatively sure that nobody in baseball is a biologist.
You can't demand that anyone not get the virus. You can ask that people get vaccinated so that if they do get the virus, the effect of that is minimized both on them and on others.
And then you can also say, well, if you can't be vaccinated, I'd like you to stay home until you can.
Yeah,
because I'm not getting it because you're lazy.
And that's the thing I think that stands out the most to me is there seems to be an attitude of why should my choice be dictated? Like, let the vulnerable people stay home. No, you're the one with the choice. Let you stay home.
Yeah, no,
if you
stay
don't want to get vaccinated, fair enough, but you're the one making that choice. Don't impose the consequences of your choice on other people.
So I said that we were going to come on back and talk a little bit about the Warriors' upcoming draft. In 3 minutes, Alex Dickerson's going to be joining us. So let's just squeeze in a little Warriors draft talk right here. Like I said, we're all going to be over there getting our COVID tests tomorrow and stepping on into an arena for the first time in a long time. It really feels like, just based on all the information I'm looking at, that Moses Moody is becoming a clearer and clearer target. I think maybe this is my what I think should happen, starting to lead me to this opinion. Kuminga is a name I still see coming up. Davion Mitchell's name is not coming up nearly as often as it used to, and I think it's because he is a legitimate 6 foot, 6'1", and one of the Warriors' offseason priorities has to be getting bigger. You can't draft a short guy when you have to be getting bigger. It just feels kind of like a very obvious loop in logic that they need to tie themselves to.
The only thing I would say in response to that is that Fran Fraschilla came on the show and said that everybody's lying if they deserve to have a job in the NBA right now. So I don't know who to take seriously on any of these suddenly late moves in the mock draft world, because I wouldn't be surprised if Mitchell still goes seventh or eighth.
I'd be shocked if he goes that high. I would not be surprised if he's still there at 14 if the Warriors do in fact take him. I think it's all about value, and it's going to come down in some part to who they take at seven. I think the Warriors, and we've talked about this to the you know, all of our wits' end, but they're obviously trying to serve two masters in a variety of ways in general, but especially with these two draft picks. And I even think there's like multiple cases of multiple masters, because I think on one hand, they definitely want somebody who can help right now. They would also like to get somebody who can be a centerpiece in the future. And I think you can try to do that one with each pick, if not with within the same person. At the same time, I think they'd like to get a guard and a forward out of this draft. So if Kuminga falls to seven and you've got him as a project, the admittedly short guy who's a ball handling, potential playmaking, jump shooting guard that can help you next year becomes much more palatable at 14, right?
Yeah.
By the opposite token, if Booknight is the pick at seven, taking an even smaller guard at 14 probably doesn't make as much sense.
Right. That's when I feel like your reach, well, not a reach, but you would start to think, all right, we're going to take a guy with the biggest upside.
I have a name for that.
Is it Zaire Williamson
at 14? It's not, but only because you added an O-N. It's Zaire Williams.
And it's Williams, not Williamson. Let's get it right.
Zion Williamson, Zaire Williams. I would take him at 14 if you go with a, you know, Booknight or one of the other guards that can help you today at seven.
We're going back to baseball right now as we slip on into our 3 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.